that has big time camp. What the movie will be the ultimate champ. You might be finger crazy, my finger diseased, but do you watch another chance to find the best of this?
We rate each movie in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality.
It's Stan, Gene, Jack and Nick who watch it till it's finished, because the love for this movie can be diminished. And make the film's plot has no rhyme or reason, but that's a part of charm.
Colin Brad is off the season.
It's low budget film that is most true. They find a flick that monster boogaloo.
Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Yakmala, Yakmala. Welcome back, my friends, to another episode of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am so happy to be here. I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. And, you know, we're talking season 9, if you show me yours. And today we are going to talk about Tales from the Quad Dead Zone. And who's going to talk about it with me? Well, I got Jack. I got Jack Hall.
I'm first.
Why not?
I'm never first.
Well, there you go. Okay. And I've also got, we've got James Kata.
I am so thrilled to be here to share in this experience. We'll call it an experience.
An experience. That's that's right. And now we're going to have a Nick experience. Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations. With that kind of open, you wonder why you never get to go first. Like, fuck, buy a clue.
He's fast on his feet, that Jack.
Yeah. He's ready to go. Well,
rapid fire.
As I say, you know, we're gonna talk Justin Norvell Turner's Tales from the Quad Dead Zone. And just before, I think we should all bow our heads and thank Chester for the movie on our TV today. There's only Boogaloo for 3. So, who loses Boogaloo today?
Oh, rats. Too slow again. Honest to God, since the episode where we chose our season, and I was the one who brought Tales of the Quad Dead Zone, nothing has, it's like looking forward to Christmas, waiting to hear Nick summarize Tales of the Quad Dead Zone.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it, because now he has to summarize 3 tales of evil beyond belief.
Right. 2.5 tales of evil.
Yeah. All right, Nick, summarize 2.5 tales of evil beyond belief.
You know what? I spent most of this movie pissed off. You guys are making me watch this. And the other bit, just marveling at the ingenuity behind this film videotape. This is a marvel. I kind of just obsessed with it, and I have to see Chester Norville's first film, Devil Doll from Hell. I mean, this is spectacular. And what this is a black version of Tales of the Crypt. It's 3. Well, sort of 3 stories, sort of 2 stories sandwiched between, you know, an intro segment of sorts. The intro segment is
sort of 2 that are 2 that are black and 1 that isn't.
Yeah.
It's like 2 and then like a bridging sequence that gets out of hand.
Yeah. Actually, it's only really a bridging sequence that gets out of hand. Short from YouTube that I don't really know what it's doing there because it's really, really, really short. And a full segment. This is a bizarre film. I keep calling it a film, but it's more like a something shot on videotape scored with a speaking spell.
That is incredibly apt. I will say that right now.
The bridging sequence is a mother reading a small child a story, but the child is a ghost, and then the really short segment is a family having dinner and killing each other for very little reason. I really don't get what's going on, but I was entertained by it for the, you know,
I look forward minutes. To explaining it to you then.
No, I mean, I get there's not enough food to go around, but there
don't know how to
had to be a better solution to what they came up with.
Oh, and only one of them kills everybody, you know, like only one is that does all the killing. Like the one snaps because, I mean, there's not enough food to go around, and every day it's a wonder of, like, because basically
then they all sit at the dinner table. Have the peace of mind to do the discipline with the bell.
That's the thing. They're sitting at a dinner table, and basically when they say go, you reach for your peanut butter sandwich, and there's not enough for everybody. Like, I think that's how it worked. And so you reach for it, and if you get a sandwich, good for you. And if you don't, well, you hope that you'll be faster tomorrow. And one of them being bigger than the rest seems to just hate the fact that he has to fight for his food every day. So he kills them, and then they have a sequence where they're all at the dinner table, or at least a few of them are again. And then there's some explanation of how he went to jail and the other ones were dead. I don't know.
It's a fucked up little piece of cinema in any case.
It's like 8 minutes long and has third act problems.
Yeah.
It really does. It's amazing.
And then there's another story about two brothers, and the brothers don't really like each other, and they play tricks on each other, and one of them dies, and they get mad, and one brother dresses the other brother up as a clown, and it turns out the spirit of the clown brother returns the body and does not like what his brother has done, so there's some sort of silliness that goes on there.
I don't know that you've properly gotten across that he broke into a funeral parlor to steal his brother's body, dress him like a clown, just so he could dress him like a clown, and then bury him in his basement so no one would see him dressed like a clown.
It's the perfect plan.
I it's basically the plot of Ocean's 11. Explained in the title of the movie, Tales of the Quad Dead Zone. Just summarizes the whole movie.
The power of clown compels you.
I don't know that that's what happens, but it's close enough, honestly.
Yeah. It hardly
it's a decent. It's a decent guess. It's a good stab at it.
You know, the biggest reason, the biggest question behind this film is, for me, is was this movie made because somebody found the switch on the camera to do, like, superimposing? and they just wanted to play with that feature to figure it out on their video camera? Or was there an idea behind this movie? Because,
well, I love that.
Wow.
I love that it's an anthology. But so you got those two stories, but at the 40-minute mark of this 62-minute movie, they're done the anthology part of the film, and then it's just back to the woman and her ghost kid for the rest of the movie.
Well, but I mean, she's very important to Chester Turner overall. Shirley L. Jones also is in Black Devil Doll from Hell, and
which, according to Wikipedia, was supposed to be the third story.
Oh, nice.
In this anthology,
would make sense if there was a third story. Yeah,
yeah,
that would tie it all together.
Were those two a couple? Were Shirley L. Jones and Chester, were they a couple or something?
I don't know that they were, but because there's an enormous amount of Turners in this movie. Of course, there's an enormous amount of Joneses as well. So I think that I'm annoyed because I've seen two of his movies, and that seems like about four too many. But at the same
there are only two, correct?
he was working As of like 2013, I had read that he was trying to work on a sequel to this one. So I mean, that's great news. But and I thought there might be,
as long as he's using the same camera and the same speaking spell. Yeah,
oh,
I'm in.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course, of course. But yeah, I would love to know more of the backstory of Chester Neville Turner, because this guy, when we talk about movies and we talk about bad filmmakers, like you can talk about Ed Wood and stuff like that and say like, ah, yeah, like he wasn't a good filmmaker. Yeah, but he was light years ahead of Chester Neville Turner. Like,
well, no, I think Chester might have a little bit of talent considering the resources that he's using in these films.
But he uses the same, like, but nobody's I ever going to give him money.
I wish this was a video podcast so you could have seen my face there.
No, I mean, this guy is making a full-length-ish film by rubbing two sticks together. It's amazing. Look,
this podcast, we scored in five categories, none of which are what, Jim?
Objective
none of which
quality.
Are what? None of which are objective quality. If we were scoring by objective quality, this would easily be the worst, lowest film we have done and likely ever will do.
It would probably.
It is almost impossible to get worse than this.
It could probably get a negative score, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Like,
it is. It's not overwhelmed by technical skill. I'll give it that.
It's thoroughly incompetent. The acting is hellish. There is no quality control whatsoever in this.
Hey, I thought the kid did a wonderful job on the acting.
the amazing thing about that is they made 100 copies of those of this movie, hand delivered them to video stores in the Chicago area, ran out of gas, and likely didn't deliver them all, apparently. And yet here we are, 22 years later, somehow talking about this. We've all seen it, and so have other people. It's unbelievable.
And I've seen the other one. Like, this is what's more unbelievable, is that here's a guy who doesn't even rate, like, a wiki page of his own, I don't think. But it's, oh no, I guess he does. But but honestly, like, I don't understand it, but yet here we have it, and we're talking about it.
Could you imagine being the guy who paid $2,000 for the VHS copy because it's so rare?
On eBay, he won $2,000 as the winning bid. So literally, that guy paid 2,000 times the budget of his movie.
He could have probably paid Norville Jones to remake the film.
Just made a brand new version. So yeah, that's where this movie came up, is that I'd watched a documentary about VHS collectors, people that collect VHS tapes now, and this is the Holy Grail tape. It goes for thousands of dollars on eBay. I think it's currently sitting around the hundreds of dollars, because of course there's not that many there's not that many collectors who have that kind of cash, so it's leveled out to a few hundred dollars, but it's still hundreds of dollars for this on VHS. Also, there is a DVD of it now, so that of course affects when VHS was the only way to see it, now you can see it, and we've seen it on YouTube, and
please tell me it's remastered so you know you can get a quality.
I imagine not. No, I would.
I imagine that's so. the Adjust Your Tracking documentary.
Yeah,
I
see that's
that.
The one. Yeah,
I gotta see that.
It's a great documentary. It's on Tubi, and that's where they showed a couple of minutes from this. I'm like, I gotta see this movie, and it, you know, 62 minutes, magical. I love that. I love that length of a movie.
It only felt like 162 minutes. So it's,
I love the focus of the sound and the audio mix. where they put together the audio mix, and they said, under no circumstances should you be able to hear the dialogue. when there's music playing at any time, well, the opening bit, like the first lines of the movie, the main character is Shirley is cleaning dishes in the sink, and there's no water in the sink, so it's just rattle, 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 rattle of dishes, and you can't hear a word that she says. That's how the movie.
I really believe just because that the song that at the beginning is so insane. It's more insane than the movie. Think about that. Think about that for a second. I think because that song and the drawings that apparently Shirley did for that opening sequence, I think it tops Santa's Sleigh as the most boogaloo opening yet.
It might be, yeah. It's like it's very there's weird drawings, and then there's it's kind of like
well, don't worry.
Call it like VHS.
Were those drawings?
You don't have to explain the song because I'm making sure it's going in the back end.
and VHS era text credits. This movie is 62 minutes long, has 3 minutes of opening credits and 3 minutes of closing credits. So 10% of this movie.
And then there was credits. a speech by the one brother saying what he hated the other brother that was 45 minutes. That means that the rest of the movie.
That means a lot of the time, yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
I do not. Do you want to put a bullet in this sucker?
Well,
the third act, like after we got the two stories, the ghost boy's dad shows up. There's some family violence. Shirley kills him, and then lives happily ever after with ghost boy. So it's I like a happy ending.
She comes in. This man is beating the hell out of her and choking her. She turns the tables on him and stabs him. So he grabs the phone, calls the police, and says, "Bitch tried to kill me." Ignoring the whole part where you were choking her first and beating her.
Yeah. And the most, you know, those cops were competent.
Oh yeah.
Once again, we get to witness the worst police
action. I'm pushing to get to scoring just because I have to know what this is going to get, because I know where I sit on it, and this film
almost defies any kind of classification.
There's no question about that. There is no question.
I don't know how to explain this movie. This thing is so crazy, and I don't know that it's so boogaloo, and yet I don't know that it's going to score as high as it could, because it lacks an energy, because everybody seems so bored in all the scenes. And all our best boogaloo movies, when you're looking at the Ninja 3 and Flesh Gordon 2 and all these, have a lot of energy. They have a certain energy to them. This thing has no energy. I mean, none. I mean, these people look like they just woke up and then filmed this stuff.
That's pretty true.
All right.
And you know what? The best part is the same Black Devil Doll from Hell features the same. Like, my question. So, forget it. We'll get into it when we get into story. I just realized. That's going to be. Yeah.
Jim, why don't you throw us to scoring?
All right. In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate each film in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality.
Thank God for this film.
This is one of the films that's going to really help it out here. Speaking of objective quality, IMDb score 3.8. First category is called schlock appeal. Stan, we start with you.
All right. Well, there's a mega schlock effect that this movie has on filmmaking. You know, because when you say filmmaking, I think that's a total misnomer when it comes to this movie. like you say, just kind of turning on the VHS camera that you've got and just shooting, and it doesn't matter because you don't even feel the need to stop when the scene's over. You just kind of leave that in. And I think that's impressive in its own way. It was so hard to watch this 62 minutes, but at the same time, I cannot dispute its boogaloo. So I am going to give it a 7.
Yeah, I think 7 is the correct number, because the schlock is there. You know what this is. Almost from the title, and if you're in the first 10 minutes, you go, oh, yeah, I know what this is. Yeah, no, seven. I'm good.
I dare any of the listeners to this podcast to view this thing and enjoy it. And I also dare any of them to view this thing and manage to turn away for even 1 second, even fast forward. You can't. It's schlock, it's a 10. Appeal, it's a 0. So we're gonna go right in the middle there and give it a 5.
I think you nailed it on the can't look away, because I started watching this and I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I can't stop. Like I'm in it now. Like I can't not find out where this goes.
It's sort of like the Boiling Frog film. Like, you know, you're thinking this is terrible, but you know, by the time you get to the first. Halfway through the first segment, you're like,
compare it to Two Girls in One Cup, but you know, whatever works for your metaphors. Anyway,
I hadn't thought about that thing in a long time.
You got to bring back the classics. I'm going all the way up to a 10 for this thing. I think also, like, its place in the VHS. And the annals and just the sheer weirdness of the whole VHS filmmaking era. Next category, more heart than budget.
Well, I mean, we've joked before in this show about the budget being $1.75 for some things, and I'm like, $1.75 seems extraordinarily rich for this. That seems like about 9 times what this budget actually is. But you know, like, for me, it comes down to this: directed by Chester Novell Turner. Produced by Chester Novell Turner. Written by Chester Novell Turner. Music by Chester Novell Turner. Cinematography, Chester Novell Turner. Edited by Chester Novell Turner. And then you go into the stuff that Shirley Jones did for it. And then like Keefe Jones and stuff like that. Like all these people that are in it that did stuff with it. Like, this is, I think this is like 10 people getting together to decide to do a movie.
10 might be a high shot.
It could be, but there was quite a few in that family, even though they did get reused later on.
That's true.
So that's why I bring that number up a little bit. But I mean, I can't go perfect for the simple fact that it's just not very good. But boy did they ever try. So I'm going to go an 8.
For heart, I mean, the fact that this exists in the world, I have to say 10, but I have to take 2 away just for some bored looking actors. So 8 is the number.
Holy crap. Are we ever seeing this in a different way? I mean, in a completely different way. There is no care put into this. It is just, I want to make a movie. I don't know how. I'll make it, and I won't put, and if I do something wrong, I don't care enough to try and fix it. There's a point in this thing where it's like a 10
okay,
second.
Is there, I'll just play devil's advocate a little bit here. Is there a problem with this film that could be fixed with any amount of
like, yeah. If they had made,
like, there is little things that could have been done. There's like there's a part where one of the brother, when he comes back, he attacks the other brother, and they go and like he like grabs him, and they move the camera across as he's like pushing him forward, and the camera goes out of focus and then goes back into focus, and there's no way you don't see that, and you don't bother
to fix it. I
happen to
know that was the 8th take, and they were burning daylight.
there is
that was the
no
best shot they
way.
Had, so they
that is
it.
Well,
VHS tape is not cheap.
I just like, I looked like at it here. here's the way I looked at it. I looked at it like, okay, so we're seeing this from the vision of the one brother, and he's like, oh, I'm out of focus. Oh, no, now I can see again.
The cameraman out of focus, and there's so little effort to fix it, they don't even bother. They just leave it in. Much like the same thing when the police officers show up. I don't know. I know you have a limited budget, but there's very little difficulty or cost in getting, I don't know, something that looks like a police uniform instead of just letting the guy come in with the plaid shirt he had on. Like, there's no effort at all here.
Just plain close zero. Detectives.
My score is a zero.
Zero. All right. Well, I'll work out the average by giving it a 10 then. Because I think they worked to the highest level of skill that they had.
I think
they brought it. I think they did everything to the highest level that they could achieve. I don't think they put a lot of time into second takes or rehearsal.
Or maybe
the first take. Sometimes the camera might have just been running and stuff happened in front of it. I will give him that the special effect of the ghost boy sitting down on the chair and the chair like buckles underneath him, his weight. That's brilliant.
That was by far the best special effect that Chester Nobel Turner has ever like been involved with. That was the best actual anything he's been involved with as far as filmmaking. I don't know about his, like, home renovation company. Maybe he's really good at that job. He couldn't be.
I doubt it.
I don't see how he could be worse at that than making movies, but who knows, right?
Everyone's got their spot.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I just thought of this. This movie could have been filmed in a hostage situation.
Well, watching it felt like one.
It could have been filmed at gunpoint, and that's why they couldn't keep the focus on all the time. Holding the camera with one, gun with the other.
Kind of a SFW situation is what you're talking about.
Nice.
All right, Stan, what the fuck moments?
Well... it's hard to find what the fuck when the whole thing is just one big giant ball of what the fuck. There's a couple of moments that really stood out to me as being just, one, as just being thoroughly, like, practically incomprehensible in decision-making, and the other one just being kind of the most what the fuck moment for me. So the first one, the incomprehensible one, I gotta say it was the nipple mug. Because, so they've stolen the body from the morgue, and so now they're going to celebrate with whatever the hell they're celebrating with, and the guy's like, here's your little glass, and I got the nipple mug, and I was just thinking to myself, what the hell is the point of that? Like, did you just happen to have the nipple mug sitting around and was like, fucking A, I love this nipple mug, man. I gotta use this in the movie. So.
Can my character love the nipple mug? Sure. Yeah. Sure. I think that's a good note.
Yeah. So there's that. And then
go with that.
And then now one of the keys about Black Devil Doll from Hell is that Shirley Jones is a woman who like as the Black Devil Doll comes into her life, she suddenly gains an enormous sex drive. And that's weird. Okay, but
it's weird as you're telling me because I'm looking at a picture of her. That's weird.
But see, the thing that I found the most what the fuck about this was that whenever her son talked to her and they blew the fan in her face, she looked like she was having an orgasm each and every time. And I'm like, this is your son, your invisible son, who was blowing air apparently in your face.
It's messed up, yeah.
And it's just like, this seems to be a bit of a theme for Chester Nobel Turner and Shirley Jones. So for that reason, that's really what the fuck to me. So I'm only going to go with 5.
Yeah, I mean, I
challenge you to find a part of this movie that's not what the fuck.
Well, sure, of course.
That's why I'm scoring it a 10. You can just jump ahead, give me my score, and we can go back to the guy. for that exact reason.
I can honestly say I wasn't surprised. After the first 5 minutes of this film, I was not surprised by anything. So I can't do the 10.
The dreaded internal consistency.
It is that.
WTF needs
the time where the clown became a zombie. That was so predictable after the first 10 minutes.
It did not faze me whatsoever. I knew something was gonna happen, and it happened. I'll give it a 6 for the score, because I did spend a large chunk of this movie thinking, how are they making this music? Is it a speak and spell? Is it scored on a junior high recorder?
I guess one of those keyboards that's got like 12 keys.
Yeah. And a shit ton of effects.
That sound was just amazing to me.
Thing I would suggest is that if you actually did start predicting what happened in this movie, then that would be a bigger problem long term than anything else.
So I've scored it a 6.
A 6, and we got
Well, I'd like to give it my real score now. I'd like to give it my real score now. So I challenge you to find a part of this movie that isn't WTF. 10.
All right. I'll round out the numbers by challenging you to find a part of this movie that's not WTF. 10.
I'll say this. What is WTF as well is that one sold for $2,000 on eBay.
Memorable moments.
This is much harder for me, because, well, there's going to be the fact that I'm never, ever going to forget that I unfortunately watched it. I will absolutely attempt to put it entirely out of my mind. I don't remember all that much from Black Devil Doll from Hell, other than the fact that the quality of it was enormously bad. And so I think that this is going to go into that same zone of the quality was really, really bad. Maybe I'll remember the fact that Invisible Boy managed to make the chair cushion go down. that's seems possible, because that was the premiere effect of the movie. As far as the acting goes, I'm not going to remember that. I am just going to remember that, holy crap, I've watched 2 Chester Novell Turner movies. I'm broken. So I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah, I'm going to get this confused with the other Chester Norville film rather quickly. And that's amazing, since I haven't seen the other one. As far as memorable goes, you know, I try to imagine the film's viscosity, the thickness. This is not a peanut butter film.
Viscosity.
thank you.
This is not a peanut butter film. This is, you know, sticky soda, maybe. So I'm only going to give it a 3.
Well, now that analogy right there, that gets a 9 on what the fuck.
when everything fails at such a monumental level that there's not a moment that isn't WTF giving it a 10. The only possible outcome on this category, which in many ways is the other side of the coin, is 0. So 0 for memorable moments.
I will admit that it doesn't stick with you. I watched this maybe a month ago, and I still had to go back and review. I'm like, oh yeah, I actually forgot that whole story. I remembered kind of the whole bridging part with Shirley Jones, but and the family, but I actually forgot the whole the clown story. So only a 3 for me. Final category: crazy concept.
10. I mean, sorry. I mean, you go out of order here.
It's like Twilight Zone if you came back and the last like 20 minutes was just Rod Serling and some kind of really fucked up family violence story. That's the pitch.
I couldn't hold it in to my turn. 10. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, we don't have to score them in order every time.
Yeah, it's nice to not have to go first for a moment. Mix but it up. I'll just keep adding on. So the fact that it exists at all is a 10. the fact that the first story actually involves white people adds at least two more to that. the fact that the second story of the anthology, which is really the last story of the anthology,
second and final,
involves them like stealing his brother's corpse so that he can dress it up as a clown, and he laughs incessantly throughout the entire damn thing. So I figure that's another two. And then afterwards, of course, you have the terrible Shirley Jones storyline. So, and again, the fact that it just exists. So I'm going to go with 16.
All right.
That's not allowed.
I round it to the nearest.
Jim can round it.
The octagon can handle anything. Except half, except 0.5.
Okay.
I like to give us a 10.5.
Well, you're screwing me here.
Any whole number. Can't handle any whole number.
10.5, if any film deserves it.
Nick's still considering.
Oh, yeah.
Pitch the movie. Bring it into your studio.
You know,
your one-liner. You're
no, it probably deserves a 10, but you know, Stan scores pissed me off, so I'm only giving it a 9.
16, a little high for you. Hmm.
Jack, still a 10.
Still a 10. I think 16 is too low. I'd like to point out just this movie is so... The level of violence when Shirley Jones is getting beaten is so insane. This whole movie is so insane. 10 is definitely not enough, but it's all we can do.
All right. I'll make it a 10 for me as well. I could not describe this movie. I sometimes say at the lunch table, this was not one I tried to even approach. Because
accidentally one of them might get curious and watch it and then you're gonna have to hear about that.
I don't think I can make a sales pitch for this movie.
No, it's the last thing you want to do. To actually tell people that you watched it, I actually think is a bad decision. This is one of those ones that you kind of, at the end of it, you're like, oh, yeah, so I'm just going to forget that I watched that.
No, everything you just said is absolutely true, but I have a hard time envisioning anyone turning it off. Once it started, you started in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like The Ring. You start the thing like, oh God, is this the video of The Ring? Ah, I gotta watch it to the end now. Once you start watching that stupid thing of the girl coming out of the well, you can't stop it.
And a lesser and a person with lesser boogaloo skills though could actually wind up killing themselves after watching this.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no. Yeah.
It's important to stretch before you watch this movie. As I said, this is not for the faint of boogaloo.
Right no, here. No, no, sir.
All right. This brings us to our 6 secret modifiers. This film does have 3 of them. It does get a -1 for what we're calling lame day shipping. There's not a readily available copy of this. There was a DVD that is no longer in print. It's readily available for not legal. If you want to watch it on YouTube, it's there. If there's a way to give Chester a couple of dollars for doing that, I would do that. It does get a +1 for being under 80 minutes by quite a sizable margin.
Oh, man, I hope Chester Norville does science fiction conventions and horror conventions. I want to meet this dude.
I want that DVD because I would like to listen to the commentary track with him and Shirley.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Man, that'd be
cool.
I don't listen to commentary tracks, but I would listen to that.
Exactly.
It does get another +1 for the I don't know if we actually came up with a term for it. It has under 500 votes on IMDb, making it quite a quite an obscure film. It has 255 votes on IMDb for a movie that's over 20 years old.
I haven't looked it up. I wonder what it's.
How many YouTube views does it have?
The one that I shared with you guys, 6,900.
Okay. They could not be bothered.
There's a couple of versions. I think there's probably a couple of versions up there, though. Because I don't think the copyright's being strictly enforced.
Well, it's probably Eastern Europe, I'm guessing. You can't watch it there.
That's right.
But honestly, Nick is exactly right. Like, if Chester Turner was around at a convention, if you could just go, absolutely. Would I go and sit there and hand him $20? You betcha I would, because, well, he probably needs it. But also the fact that...
And that's 1% of the way to his next movie.
Yeah. 1%? That's... Well, his next movie, if produced on DVD, I expect him to make a movie on VHS, I'll have you know. But
okay, you convinced me. I'm not giving him money, but I might buy him a sandwich.
Yeah, but then make him see if he can beat you to it before you grab it. Like, oh, maybe tomorrow, Chester.
I'll ring this bell, Chester, and then you're going to jump for that sandwich.
Still, there had to be a better situation, solution to that situation.
Like maybe cutting a sandwich in half? No, you can't do that. That's not how you handle things in the real world. All right, that brings us to a final score of a fairly respectable 68 out of 100, which puts it smack dab on top of Santa's sleigh.
And easily the highest scoring so far this season.
Yeah. It's up there, yeah. Is that the highest? That is the highest this season, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It wasn't the most popular film from a likability, but it really grew on you as far as its incompetence.
Yeah. Oh yeah. See, and that's the thing, right? There, like, based on the scoring, there is absolutely no question that this is a Boogaloo movie. It's not a good movie. It's not fun to watch. But boy, is it ever Boogaloo!
Again, that's the thing, right? There's Boogaloo, and then there's good Boogaloo. And you know, I mean, this one didn't always have the good Boogaloo. Sometimes it was just boring Boogaloo, but the Boogaloo was always there.
It was sort of the equivalent of cinematic mold.
It's more like that. Like, you get something on your finger and you feel like you got to smell it. You're like, you know, you shouldn't, but you know,
it's going to smell bad, but you just
there's the moment though where you're like, yeah, kind of want to know what it smells like.
All right.
I want to know where this is going. All right.
Well, I'll tell you where the show.
Once I've seen it, I don't have to see it again ever.
Oh, that's good.
You'll
news.
Never be allowed to see it.
You won't want to see it again for sure. But I'll tell you where the show's going next. The show now moves to I don't know that you could go to a further. Other direction than going to Skidoo. So Otto from Chester Novell Turner to Otto Preminger. Now that is dramatically different right there. So that's going to be some crazy talk going on in Skidoo. Jim, why don't you tell the folks where to find us on the internet?
All right. We are at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo on Instagram. And for everything else, visit our podcast sponsors, WeTalkPodcasts.com, and they also have a Facebook and a Twitter. Keep up on everything. And we are so close to announcing what the theme is going to be for next season.
That's right. I know. Yeah. It's one of Jack's favorite parts of the of the season. So yes,
it's always a staring match, a challenge.
It's become very strategic. It's almost like one of those board games you play where you start off having fun, and by the end, when you're quiet,
and by the end, you hate each other. So that's the way it works. All right. Okay. Well, season 9 rolls on next with Skidoo. Of course, this has been Tales from the Quad Dead Zone. So thank you, Chester Novell Turner, for making my brain hurt. Season 9. If you show me yours, we'll just. It's been an interesting season so far, I'll say that much. So let's wrap this up and go home so that we can watch Skidoo.
So for Jim, and for Jack, and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thank you for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
Thank you.